Blog Talk Radio.
Try that again, okay? Good morning.
or good afternoon, whichever coast you're on. And welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. We are a Christian, Protestant, Internet church and a local church assembly, and we meet here every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Is that better?
Yes, some have sound, some don't.
Okay, tell them to. Amen. God is working in our midst, and we're working on the sound, so we ask you to be a little patient with us. Amen. God is preparing his people, his church, his army, his warriors for the days to come, because the days are getting darker, in case you haven't noticed. Things are getting worse. And so the Lord is preparing us for what we need, for where we need to be. We need to come higher in his spirit. Amen. We need to draw closer to the Lord. So we ask the Lord to help us with these things. We open our hearts and our lives to him. We fellowship with him. We obey him. And we do what he tells us to do. Amen. Because only he knows the way back to heaven. We don't. We know that it's found following the Holy Spirit, following the Lord Jesus. And we don't know the moment he's going to call us out of the earth. So we want to stay connected. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit for any reason, because we don't want to be left behind. Amen? Amen. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you thanking you, giving you praise. We ask you, Lord, to touch our hearts and touch our lives. Keep us from growing cold in you, Lord. Keep us fervent and on fire and passionate for you, growing in our relationship with you, loving you and loving others, Father. The world needs people who are filled with the love of God. The world needs people who are filled with your spirit, Lord. The world needs people who give you their undivided attention, Lord. So we've come here. We've come here, whether we're still in pajamas or if we're fully dressed. We've come here, Lord, to open our hearts and our lives to you, Lord, and to ask you to come move in our world, move in our lives, speak to our hearts, draw us to yourself, and make us who you intended for us to be when you sent us into the earth. Amen? For those of you who are new, welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and the Lord is in our midst. And at the beginning of our service, we celebrate Holy Communion. We celebrate the death, birth, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to gather your elements, if you have them, and you desire to join us. Amen? As we walk through life, we find that we need encouragement, because the way that we walk isn't always so simple. Sometimes it's a little more complex than we expected at first. Sometimes it's fraught with difficulties that we had no idea would ever surface in our lives. And so we need encouragement. We need encouragement from one another, and we need encouragement in the Lord. Amen? Amen. So in order to receive that encouragement, we have to grow in patience. We have to grow in patience. Patience means that we don't get angry and huffy and upset the minute things don't go the way we thought. Patience means that we're willing to wait on the Lord. We're willing to wait on his move. We're willing to trust him as we wait. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we cast our bread upon the waters, as you tell us in Ecclesiastes, and you promised it. Promised us that we shall find it after many days. We want to thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. We want to give you praise. You remind us that it's better to be of slow anger than to be mighty. You remind us that when we rule our own spirit, it's better than if we took a city. We ask you, Lord, and we give you praise. We thank you for reminding us that in returning and rest, we shall be saved, and in quietness and confidence will be our strength. You tell us, Lord, in patience to possess our souls. You call us to a life of patient continuance in doing well, that we might have eternal life. You said to us, Lord, for ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And we count it all joy, Father, when we fall into various temptations, knowing that the trying of our faith is developing the very patience that we need. So as we are patient, you establish our heart. So, Lord, we ask you, when we face temptations, remind us to be patient. Patient as situations move slowly. Patient when we see no change. Patient when we don't hear what we are expecting, because you indeed have heard our prayers and you are answering in the right time. Someone once said, Lord, that you don't always come when you want, when we want you to, but you're always right on time. I agree, Lord. I've walked through this many times, and you are an on-time God. At the right moment, at the right time, the breakthrough comes. So, Lord, we choose to trust you and to grow in trust. We're growing in trusting you, Lord. And we thank you for the fruit that it will bring into our lives, that we will be complete and whole, wanting nothing. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, all through the week, we've had the temptation to be impatient. We had the temptation to say, I'm sick and tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. We've had the temptation to say, you know, this is getting on my nerves, Jesus. We've all had that opportunity. But, Lord, we come to you asking for forgiveness, for losing patience even with ourselves, not to mention others in you. We want to thank you, Lord, that when we confess our faults and when we confess our sins, you are just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes the way is tedious. Sometimes it's downright monotonous. But you're using all these things to develop strength, to make us tougher. So, Lord, we receive your move in our hearts and in our lives, because your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways are better than our ways. So, Lord, forgive us for every sin we committed, for every time we pouted and said something back we shouldn't have said, every time we lost our patience or our temper, every time we stepped out of the spirit and into the flesh, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to heal us and deliver us, Lord, and to continue to help us to develop in the character and nature of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a moment or two to say to the Lord what you need to say to him. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. That we should not be condemned with the world. Grateful not to be condemned with the world. That's going to be a long line that day. You know, I read something where an actor, a very famous actor, said, there are going to be two lines, a long one and a short one. And I'm aiming to be in the short one. You see, there are going to be a lot of people who miss heaven. All of this preparation that we do here on earth so that we'll be ready to stand before the Lord and give an account for the things done in our body, where we hope to hear from him, good and faithful servant, well done. All of this preparation, all that we go through, all that we experience, there are going to be a lot of people who miss. They're going to receive a judgment, and it will be severe. You see, it's a dangerous thing to shun Jesus Christ. It's a dangerous thing to refuse the Father's testimony of him. It's a dangerous thing to tell the Holy Spirit, no, I don't believe any of that stuff you said about Jesus. That's just a lie. That's dangerous. But yet a lot of people do that with their hearts and their attitudes every day. They go on as if God isn't there. They call him the man upstairs. I don't know what stairs they're planning on, but they don't have any. They don't have any stairs. You see? First of all, you have to have some reverence for the Lord. You have to care more than the man upstairs. That's not going to get it. He's God Almighty. He created everything. It's because of him that we even exist. Without him, there is nothing. He flung the world out on nothing. There was nothing there. He spoke, and now there's something there. You can't afford to take him for granted. So we come together, and we celebrate what Jesus has done. The Father sent him into the world. He said in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I wish that everyone on earth understood the importance of those words. You see, God loves us because he chose to love us. It's not because we're so wonderful. We're not. It's not just because he made us in his image and likeness. He chose to love us. And that's what we do. We choose to love who we love, and we choose not to love those that we don't want to love. We make decisions every day on whether or not we will continue to love someone. So we can choose to love God. We can choose to love him. With all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our spirits, with all of our strength, with all of our might, we can choose to love him. But will you make that choice? It's a decision every person must make. And no one can make you choose what you choose. It's a decision that you make. And it shouldn't be a passive decision. It should be a vigorous, passionate action decision. I choose to love God. And I choose to display my love for him this way today. And devil, there's nothing you can do to stop me from doing this. I'm going to love God all day today. And I'm not going to stop because you choose to motivate someone to do something against me. I'm not going to stop because they don't understand, but you're using their ignorance. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to love God no matter what comes into my life and no matter what leaves my life. No matter what comes my way, no matter where I am tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up loving God because I choose to love him. Isn't that interesting? Some people are seduced, so to speak, into loving someone. But God lets you make a free choice. It's your choice to love him. He chose to love you, and so he gives you the same option. Choose to love him. Choose to love him and to display it by obeying him. Choose to honor him. Choose to serve him. It's a choice you get to make. And it's a blessing when you make the right choice. Amen? Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the armor of God that you've given us to wear every day. The enemy can't defeat us because it's your armor that you're giving us. We are completely covered in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you allow us to walk in divine health. It doesn't matter what our bodies are trying to do. Divine health belongs to us. It's our inheritance. And we're not giving up our inheritance. We're going to keep our inheritance. Jesus had to die for us to get it. It's ours, and we're going to possess it. We want to thank you that you're the God who heals all of our diseases, and by your stripes we have been healed. We want to thank you for our prosperity and good health, even as our souls prosper. We want to thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man and all his evil angels, evil spirits, and demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, and orders. We cancel all of his demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan, his agents, and his kingdom in Jesus' name. We close and seal all the portals, channels, and open doors of access to the enemy in our lives. We pull down all the demonic thrones, and we bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all who are in authority. We pray for kings and all true Christians everywhere. Because we walk in the midst of trouble, Lord, yet you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we bind the works that they do on the full moon against Christians and against the unwary in Jesus' name. We return those attacks from whence they came in Jesus' name. They shall not overcome us. They shall not overcome us because the overcomer lives in us. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that as you cause us to overcome every witchcraft attack, we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them, to cling to them for eternity. We bind the demons in our own minds. Every demon spirit in our minds, we bind it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain it with eternal chains under darkness. We send it into the cage and to the feet of Jesus to be judged. We command it to come out of our minds right now. We bind every spirit that's entered into our minds, every spirit of dullness, every spirit that comes to steal our thoughts, every spirit that comes to steal our memory, every spirit that's come to confuse us, every spirit that's come to depress us, every spirit that's come to oppress us. We thank you, Lord, for a clear mind. You did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Every spirit coming down our family line, all those familiar demons that affect the mind, we bind them in the name of Jesus. We're no longer a part of the old family tree. No, we have a new family, the family of God. And we command every spirit that's touched our mind, every spirit that's entered our thoughts, every spirit that's taken our attention, every spirit that's bound, brought confusion, every spirit that's bound our mind, every spirit that's brought pain or migraines or suffering to our brains, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Come up and out of us. You have no right. You have no place. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He has a right to be here, not you. So you must leave in the name of Jesus. Every time we went to remember something, you tried to steal our thoughts. But the Holy Spirit brought us into the remembrance of what we needed to know. Get out of our minds in Jesus' name. Every wicked and evil thought that came across our mind, we bind you in Jesus' name. We have repented of our sin and you have no place to stay. Leave us in the name of Jesus. Every thought that we thought because something happened to us, we bind those thoughts up in the name of Jesus. We send them to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a miraculous clear mind. We thank you for Hebrews 9:14. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the blood going through our minds right now. The blood of Jesus going through our minds. The blood in our minds, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus in our minds. Every fixation is bound in the name of Jesus. Every fixation, every doubt, all unbelief, all fear, you're bound in the name of Jesus. Every spirit coming to combat the truth, we bind you in the name of Jesus. We cast you down in Jesus' name, and we command you to come subject to the name of Jesus Christ. No, you will not steal our minds, devil. Our minds are ours. They're a gift from God, and we will use them to his glory. We thank you, Lord, and we return the attacks of the devils onto their heads to cling to them for eternity. We bind the trafficking, reporting, listening, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar devils, electronic and digital demons, technology demons, and all their attacks. 5G and all their attacks, artificial intelligence, all their attacks, Alexa and all your attacks in Jesus' name. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord. All Kundalini spirits, their attacks, water and marine spirits and their attacks. Rula la diosur rekahariki, sex devils and their attacks, unclean spirits and their attacks, passive devils and their attacks. Pain afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, smart dust, drone spirits, everything they put into the atmosphere that's not of God, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ.
We bind all sorcery devils in their attacks, seducing, womanizing spirits, Havana syndrome, brain changes, injury, remote viewing, sonic and audio weapons, targeted radio frequency, whoredom spirits and their attacks, the voices of the stranger. Yes, the voices of the stranger and their attacks. And every seducing spirit, you've been whispering in our ears and you've been doing your usual lie. So we bind your lies, your delusions, your deceptions, your untruths, your mixtures, your combinations, your compromise. We bind you and we put it back on you in Jesus' name. It's not ours. We won't receive it. We reject it and we won't take it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you. We bind 5G and its components. We bind all targeted radio frequencies, all pulse weapons and their attacks, all electromagnetic attacks, smart technology attacks, techno-paganism, and mind control by the occult. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the false gospel that's being preached everywhere in the name of Jesus. We bind spirits going through the atmosphere, releasing lies in the name of Jesus Christ. We shut their mouths in the name of Jesus. We shut their mouths and we gag them with the blood of Jesus Christ. So coming off the satellites, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every untruth, every twist, we bind you, Leviathan, in Jesus' name. We bind all mystic rituals, all hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks. And we bind Rukatiria Brisha. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind Buddhist black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, Australian, Celtic, Caribbean, Latin American, American, all the demons that are everywhere that have come out of the cultures, all voodoo and hoodoo, all mixtures of Christianity and paganism. We bind you, all secular humanism. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of our lives. You have no right to be there. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, and we bind every demon in this place in Jesus' name. We bind all shape-shifting spirits. We bind every demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind impulsivity, inattention, racing mind, and hyperactivity. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the Flies and his agents. We bind the Mandela effect. We bind all satanic ritual abuse, satanic worship, and witchcraft dedications, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects, spiders and their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. Yes, even in marriage, we bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity and supplanting the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant in Jesus' name. We bind the bondage of generations. We bind the bondage of generations of fools. We bind the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we come into agreement. We come into agreement with the prayers that we pray every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every Friday.
Every time we come together, Father, we pray, we bind demons. And today, we come into agreement as the body of Christ. We come into agreement and we confirm what we pray. We choose to believe our prayers. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We trust you. We know that what we prayed, you've heard. What we pray, you're doing. What we say is real. Our words have power. And so we're going to sing a song, Lord. We're going to sing a song. We're going to worship you together. And we're going to release your blood all over this world. We want to thank you for what you do, Lord. We want to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name. You're going to have to talk.
By the working power in the blood.
Lord Jesus, we have one more, saints, and the Lord set ambushments when they praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Watch what he does. Praise you, Lord.
Never gonna lose, never ever gonna lose its power. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, today, saints, we're going to talk about in God's Spirit. In God's Spirit. Today, we're going to investigate truth by the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, Chapter 16, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, at verse 13, he says to us this: howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. As I was reading a lot of the prayer requests that are in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, it occurred to me that many persons still do not have quite the relationship with the Holy Spirit that they ought to have. Some of us don't know how to ask the Holy Spirit to help us when we come to pray. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit a little today, and perhaps that will help some of us, amen, or maybe all of us. And Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of grace and of supplication. The Spirit of grace and of supplication. God promises to pour out the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of supplication. When God intends to send much mercy towards us, he sets our hearts to prayer. He sets our hearts to prayer. The Spirit of grace sets us apart for God's purposes. In other words, he comes to sanctify us, that's setting us apart, and to incline us in God's character and nature. He comes to set us apart for God's purposes, whatever those purposes may be, and to incline our hearts toward God's character and God's nature to be displayed in our lives. The Spirit of supplication, he instructs us and assists us in prayer. He instructs us and assists us in prayer. He is the Spirit of supplication. In Philemon, there's only one chapter in Philemon. Philemon verse 25. Philemon verse 25. He is referred to as the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a manifestation of God's grace toward his people. He is God's love for us on display. The Spirit of supplications and the Spirit of pleading. The Spirit of supplications, prayers, intercessions, pleadings, groanings, utterances. He helps us when we come to pray if we allow him to. If we allow him to, and that includes all that we place in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. He knows what we have a problem with. You see, humans don't always know what to pray, how we should pray, or if we're doing quite the right thing. We take a good stab at it, but we aren't always on target, you see. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. He prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is a prayer warrior. He prays. He prays what we don't know to pray and have no idea ought to be prayed. He knows the right way to present everything to the Father so that we receive the answers and solutions that we need. So it's foolish to attempt to go on in prayer without asking for his guidance and his wisdom and his instruction. Amen? We have difficult and serious problems in our lives, and we need his assistance. We need his wisdom. We need his leading. But we must be open to them. We can't approach prayer as if, well, I know what to say. I'm going to say just what I heard Dr. Pat say and what I heard Dr. Sabrina say. Well, you see, that's what we said under the grace of God. But you have to learn to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that he can move on your spirit and aim your prayers in the right direction. He can interrupt the flow of what you normally say and bring through your prayer language what needs to be said. Amen? In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning with verse 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning with verse 8. And when he is come, well, he has come. He came on the day of Pentecost. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit gives indication of his disapproval of something that we have said or done and convicts us of our sin. That's right. I was talking to a young lady one day, and she was telling me that she didn't like going to this particular church. And so I asked her why. She said, because I always feel bad when I go there. Well, see, I knew about her life, and I knew about that church. And I knew that the reason she felt bad was because she lived a very sinful life. And so I said to her, well, first of all, you ought to be grateful that you can feel that at all. Because the Holy Spirit will stop working with you if you keep rejecting him. He will stop. The Bible says he'll not strive with man forever. So I told her, I said, you ought to be grateful you can feel something. That means God's trying to communicate something to you. He's telling you he's displeased with what you've been doing. So what she did was, she found her a different church, one of those seeker-friendly churches, you know, one of them that all they do is make you feel good. But you see, you can feel great and go to hell. You see, you have to make the right choices. The Holy Spirit brings us to the realization that we are guilty of wrongdoing. What if he never did that? Think of where you would be if he never brought you to the point that you understood that you'd done wrong. Where would you actually be now? Some of us wouldn't be here. We'd be dead. There are ministries that stimulate what is referred to as warm fuzzies. Well, when they're preaching and the preaching goes forth, I say to you, church, beware. Beware. Warm fuzzies are not from Jesus Christ. You're sitting up there, and every time you go, you just feel warm fuzzies. Well, you can keep feeling them just as you slide into hell. Jesus isn't bringing you those warm fuzzies. No. He says when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He's going to deal with your sin life. And of righteousness. He's going to deal with you that you ought to be right. And of judgment, because there's a judgment coming. Of sin. Why? Because they don't believe Jesus. He's not bringing the warm, fuzzy ministry. So if you're in one of, you know, you like to sit home in your pajamas and watch whatever comes on Christian TV, and you watch this particular ministry and they make you feel warm, fuzzy, you need to change channel. That's just the truth. You need to change the channel. If that's what you're going after, you do better watching the football game. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Why sit there and let somebody paint this rose-colored picture for you that's not the truth? It's a delusion. It's a deception. And so you go out in the world thinking, oh, everything's wonderful. See, I know some people like this. They used to be my friends. They want to listen to the gospel that lifts their spirit, but they're deep in sin. They're deep in sin. I spend my time binding some of their demons. I've become their enemy because I've told them the truth about the gospel. So they want to listen to the false gospel. because the false gospel will make you feel right. And the Holy Spirit will say, you're still in sin. You better stop that. So there are many people all over the place declaring that they are Christians, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. Well, if they don't have the Holy Spirit, they're none of his. They are deceived and terribly deceived. They think that because they grew up and their mother made them go to church, and so they know who Jesus is, they heard about this cross business, and so on and so forth. They got it going on. Some of them have offices in the church, but they have raunchy, vile, corrupt, and sinful lives. And when I go to the Word, the Holy Spirit says, let me show you right here. They don't have my spirit, the Lord's telling me. I said, well, that means one thing. They're not headed to heaven. So if you're one of them that hops on YouTube or any other tube or wherever it is you go, so you could hear the gospel that makes you feel good, makes you laugh, makes you chuckle, and whatever else you do with it, I hope it's the gospel that actually leads you to the throne of God so that when you arrive, the Lord will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Because if it isn't, he's got something to say to you, all right, but it won't be something you really want to hear. The Holy Spirit quickens us or brings us to life in God. Not life in the world, in God. He makes us alive in the Spirit of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Saints, we don't live our lives by natural means only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's how we live. That's how we grow in faith. That's how we obtain the promises. This is how we find our way to the Lord. You see, it's a serious matter. It's a very serious matter. Many of you are not so aware of the Holy Spirit as you ought to be. So we're going to learn some more. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. Bless you. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance from the Lord. It's a big inheritance. It's a lot in it. It's not like, you know, Auntie died, and so you all come around the table after the repast, and the attorney sits there and says, okay, you get this piece of furniture, and you get this, and you get what's left in the bank account, and that comes to $25.83. No, it's not like that. This is a tremendous inheritance. It's a tremendous inheritance. Jesus had to bleed and die on the cross for us to receive it. We are predestined, God determined in advance, according to his purpose, because he works all things after the counsel of his own will. I want you to notice it says after the counsel of his own will, not after the counsel of your will. Amen? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit after you believed the gospel. After you received Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit showed up to seal you. And he was quick about it. The Holy Spirit seals us with God's seal when we believe and receive Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to give you this bad example I thought about while I was preparing the sermon. When I was a little girl, I went to a parochial school. And part of that was to wear a uniform. All the little boys were dressed just alike. All the little girls were dressed just alike. And everyone who saw us knew what school we went to. You may as well say that our uniform sealed us. It sealed us into an identity of having gone to that school. And people could tell the difference between us and the public school children. The public school children would come down the street making all this noise and ruckus and doing this and doing that and pulling on girls' hair and bothering this and bothering that, running up in people's yards, throwing things at their dogs, just whatever they felt like doing. But when we came down the street, we acted like children that had home training, God training, and discipline. So you see, God seals us, just like those uniforms set us apart. And if you act out of character with what's expected with that seal, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. So, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the purposes of security. Yes, he secures us. That's what he does. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 66, we see a picture of the sepulchre being sealed. So they went and made the sepulchre or grave sure, sealing the stone. They rolled a great stone over the mouth of the grave site and put the king's seal on it. That means nobody's supposed to go up there and disturb it. Nobody's supposed to bother it. Nobody's supposed to have entry. And they set a watch. Well, the Holy Spirit in comparison does something very significant. When we come to Jesus Christ and receive him, he seals us with God's seal. The devil's not supposed to come and intrude. You see, sometime ago, people placed a seal on their envelope. When the seal was broken, it was obvious that an intrusion into privacy had occurred. We are sealed that no intruding spirit should gain access. We were sealed to protect that which God has placed in us. We're under protection more than any president has ever been. Amen? Okay, I didn't write this one down, Lord. Let me see if I still want to go there. Amen. We are sealed for security purposes, high-level security. If you think that stuff they do with presidents is something, you haven't seen a thing. You need to figure out what God does. He's a whole nother dimension. Amen? Amen. Okay, I am going to go there. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. Amen. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, John said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Seal them up, they're not to be shared. Seal them up, they're not to be exposed to everyone. Seal them up, the voice said from heaven. So, God has placed treasures in us at the new birth. When we're born again, God places treasures in us, and he seals us for safety. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So when are you sealed to? Till the day of redemption. That seal's supposed to last you. Amen? Amen. John chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter, who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. When the Comforter is come, Jesus said, whom I will send to you unto you from my Father. So where does the Holy Spirit come from? He comes from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. He comes out from the Father. He shall testify of me, Jesus said. He'll tell you about me. You want to know about me? The Holy Spirit will tell you about me. You don't know if you ought to believe me or not? Well, he'll help you with that. John chapter 14, flip back a page, John 14, 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit is an instructor. He teaches if you're willing to learn. He doesn't just teach you what we consider to be spiritual things. He also teaches you natural things. You see, he was there when everything was created. There's nothing he doesn't know anyway. So why don't you ask him? Amen? He helps us when we don't know what to do. How many times have you just not known what to do? Well, you have the Holy Spirit. The answer is with you. However, if we do not make a practice of seeking his wisdom, we may well be left with questions but no answers. We have to make this a practice. It can't be something we do one time, two times, three times. No, it's a daily practice. It's all the time, every single time, consistently. For some reason, many Christians think that God doesn't have the answers to earthly issues and problems. So instead of consulting the Lord first, they rush to the world for answers. Well, I'm going to give you an example out of my own life that happened recently. I came outside to go into the garage, and my intention was to go to the post office. That was what my whole issue was. I was going to the post office, take care of some business, come back home, and do some other things. However, I tried to use my key fob and nothing happened. As it turned out, my battery was dead. It needed to be brought back to life. Mm-hmm, they're expensive. I got the warranty. So, this, by the way, was a new battery. It wasn't old, it was new. My old battery was doing fine till one day it just said, I've had enough of this. I'm not doing this anymore.
And so I happened to be on the right side of town near one of those little auto places. And so I went there, and the man said, it's time for a change. I said, okay, let me find the car. So we took care of that business. So this was a, you know, this battery was only a couple of months old. And so I'm standing there, and I'm going, well, Lord, what am I going to do? So thought comes, take the key and open the door. You can still use your key. I said, okay. See, I'm in communication with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to him as I'm working through this natural situation. Yes, it was an attack by the devil, but it's very much still a natural situation. There's a spiritual part to be dealt with and the natural part. And so I got in the car, and it just started occurring to me what I ought to do. So I found a way to get into the back seat of the car. I had to work because the door wouldn't open because it didn't want to. I was like, what's your problem? This is Saturday. You're supposed to open. So I get into the back seat, I pull the seat down, I crawl into the trunk after I move all the stuff that I have in the trunk. I have found the flashlight, I had to go back in the house, get that, come back, and I'm back there looking for something that says, I'm the answer to the problem to open the trunk of the car. And I don't see anything. So I said, well, I know what to do. I'll call the people at the dealership. So I crawl back out the car after all of that. I dig in my purse, and that takes a while. And then I find the phone. Okay, we go through the phone, we call. We happen to get somebody. And the man wasn't at work that day. He was at home, and he answered my call anyway. Thank you, Jesus. So I said, this is my problem. What do I do? He says, well, In the trunk of your car, there's this latch, and if you pull it, it will open the trunk. I said, but I don't have one. I got the flashlight, and I'm all in the trunk just looking, and I can't find it anywhere. I'm feeling everything, nothing. So I thank him for his advice. His advice to me was call the wrecker, have them tow the car to the dealership, and then let them work on the problem from there. I didn't particularly like that solution, but it was all I had at the time. So I called Brother Bill. Brother Bill, pastor has a problem. So he sends me this text message to a YouTube that tells me to do what I've already done. The Holy Spirit's already showed me what to do before I even called the people at the dealership. And I'd done it, but I didn't have a successful end. I didn't know I had to go somewhere where I couldn't see something and feel for something. I didn't get that part. I was kind of getting a little emotional about the situation. So I played the little video that Brother Bill sent me, and the man told me to do exactly what I had already done. I'd already gotten that answer. God gave me that. So after a while, Brother Bill showed up to help me out, and we plugged things in here and attached them here and there, the black first, then the red. Then I could use the key fob to open the trunk, and then we could charge the battery, and I could go to the post office. Amen. That was a long way to the post office, but I said all of that to let you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't just talk about spiritual things like once you die, what's going to happen. No, he talks about regular, ordinary, everyday stuff. He is here to help you through life. But if you don't access his wisdom as power, what are you going to have? This is how I know that you all are not interacting enough with God, the Holy Spirit. He works miracles all day long. He is the official miracle worker. So why aren't you interacting with him? And why aren't you getting these miracles? because you have your mind somewhere else. And you're running here and you're running there, and you're about to spend money that you have no business spending, because if you'd asked him, he'd have showed you what to do and you didn't have to spend all that. You might have had to spend some, but not all that. You see? So it helps. Boy, does it help. It'll help your wallet. It'll help your bank account. It'll help a lot of things. You know, in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, your dinner is coming back up, and you're going, what is this? This doesn't happen to me. Well, ask him what to do. He'll give you a bright idea, and it'll be the right idea that you need. The Holy Spirit knows everything. But if you sit there and run around trying to figure it out in your head or ask somebody else who doesn't know the answer, what are you going to come up with? Amen? John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You see, the Holy Spirit did not climb into the trunk. I had to do that part. He didn't go in the house and get the flashlight. I had to do that part. He just gave me the unction to do what needed to be done and the mind to do it. He just, here, go. And I was in the trunk before I knew it. You see? He knows how to allow his super to touch our natural and to make a difference in our world. But we have to allow for such. He is the Spirit of truth, and he only guides you into truth. He does not guide you into error. So we say to you, before you listen to this, before you listen to that, oh, brother so-and-so is going to be preaching on the TV, on this network. Ask the Holy Spirit if this is what he wants you to listen to. You see, the last time you watched Brother So-and-so, he was okay. But you don't know what's happened since then. The Spirit of truth, he remains God who cannot lie. Many believers read the news, listen to the news, and make decisions on what they have heard or read. These same believers never consult the Spirit of truth to discover if what they heard or read is actually true. He knows that those politicians are lying to you. And he'll tell you if you really want to know the truth. Our world is filled with delusions, lies, half-truths, mixtures of compromise, angels of light, deceptions, and more. Is it wise to receive knowledge wholesale without the scrutiny of the Spirit of truth? They're trying to talk you into buying this insurance policy, but have you consulted the Spirit of truth? They're trying to get you to buy this automobile over that one. Have you consulted the Spirit of truth? He knows what happened when it was being manufactured and if you actually ought to buy that one or not. He picked out the car that I drive. Amen. Many believers still enjoy Christian television. But do they ever consult with the Spirit of truth about what they are hearing? That's right. How many times do we hear information in conversation, and because we consider the source to be reliable, do we consult the Spirit of truth? Is that your habit? Or do you decide that Dr. Fauci, since he has a degree that you don't have, knows more than you? He doesn't know more than the Spirit of truth.
Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. So you turned on CNN. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He tells you not to believe everything you hear. You don't have to wonder about it. It's as plain as the black and white on the page in your Bible. Believe not every spirit. Try the spirit. But you sit there and suck it up like it's lemonade. Something's wrong. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Go to verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a spirit of error. Oh, you sat there and believed everything they said about the pandemic and everything they told you you needed to do, and on and on and on. Did you ever discuss it with the Spirit of Truth? Did you talk to the Holy Spirit? Because you see, my TV was off. Now, my other TV, all it plays is the Bible. That was on. Of course, it wasn't the TV. It was the VCR playing the Bible. But the regular TV, it was off. I mean, a long time ago, I didn't tell you to do this. The Lord was talking to me, okay? I turned on the news, the regular news, just to hear what was going on, and the Lord told me, turn that off. I said, yes, sir. And that was the end of that. So you see? That's the way that is. Saints, we can't be lazy. We will remain ignorant and deceived if we take in everything that we are exposed to as if it were God-breathed. And that's the truth in school, too. You have professors and teachers who are not Christians, and some of them that claim to be aren't right either. And they will say things and indicate things and attempt to persuade you of things that are just not right. But you've got to do what's right. God's requiring this of you. There are going to be people on the job that say things to you that sound okay, but they're not right. Amen? They're not right. God, you see, you have to answer to God for all of this mumbo-jumbo you have inside you. That's not the truth. Because he told you in the Bible, don't believe everything you hear. So if you're full of a bunch of mumbo-jumbo that's not right, whose fault is that? So now when it's time for you to believe truth, you have a problem because the mumbo-jumbo is there instead of the truth. You need the miracle to come, but you got a problem because you're full of mumbo-jumbo. Well, it doesn't work like that. God doesn't like that. Amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. We read part of this already, but we're going to read it again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You don't know what these people are talking about that they're telling you. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit agrees with the desires, plans, and will of the Father for you. Notice, he makes intercession, prayers for every saint according to the will of God. Not necessarily according to your will. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and also to perform his good pleasure. There are persons who are graced by God himself to be endowed with certain gifts. Everybody has something. When the Holy Spirit moves on their spirit, they join him in the ministry of intercession for the saints. It is very dangerous to ask someone to pray for you who is not designated by God to do so. Sinners do this all the time. Unfortunately, ignorant Christians do also. You know, you can go to churches and you can meet Christians, you can meet churchgoers, you can meet bar hoppers, you can meet witches, you can meet warlocks. So you just show up at a church and, well, this person looks spiritual to me, so, you know, they're a mason. And you walk up to them and ask them to pray for you. Seriously? That's downright dangerous. It really is. It's dangerous. You can't just, any old body, you just feel like thinking, well, I think this lady is very spiritual. She may well be. She might be in voodoo. She might be extremely spiritual, but not in Christ. I've seen this happen. I've actually seen this happen. I've seen ignorant people walk up to somebody who I knew was not right in the spirit at all. And she looked so spiritual to me. So, because she stood up and gave a prophecy, well, that prophecy wasn't right either. You know, but she looked so spiritual to me, I'm going to ask her to pray for me. God did not tell them to do this. God did not tell them to do that. But they had a bright idea. They had a bright idea. Every bright idea you have is not from God, saints. Try the spirits and see if they be of God. You see? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Paul prayed this way for Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul prayed this way for Timothy. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul prayed this way for Timothy. The Lord Jesus prayed this way for Peter. In Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 31, the Lord Jesus prayed this way for Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus is still praying for us. Seated at the right hand of the Father. He is still interceding for us all the time. You see, they moved with the Holy Spirit, not on their own motivation. They moved with the Holy Spirit, not on their own fears, not on their own feelings. They moved with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, we see an example of the prophet Samuel because he prayed and interceded for the people of God. He said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. So God uses holy, sanctified leadership to pray for the people of God. Samuel prayed this way for God's people. The Holy Spirit is on the earth interceding for you to the Father. All the time. All the time. Okay? At 2 in the morning, you had to go to the emergency room. You can't get me on the phone. You can't get your mother on the phone. Well, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are already praying for you. Come into agreement with their prayers for you. You can't think of what to pray because you're feeling sick. Just come into agreement with their intercession. How simple is that? How easy is that? You're all in a tizzy. You're nervous. You can't think. You don't know what to do. Come into agreement with the Lord and the Holy Spirit in intercession. There. That's what you do. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it is Christ that died, yes, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He makes intercession for us. The Lord Jesus is in heaven praying for you all the time, all the time. The Holy Spirit will never leave you alone in the storms of your life. He doesn't take off and run off because trouble shows up. He's God. John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, I will pray the Father. See, Jesus is praying for you. And he shall give you another comforter. Who is that? The Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. That he may live with you forever. Amen? But you got to believe that, you know. Your success is not limited to your own efforts. Your future is not limited by your personal knowledge. Your victories are not dependent on your own personal abilities alone. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ are personally interceding for you throughout every trial and difficult place of your life. Amen? Romans 8:35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or Fauci, or Biden, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, that includes aliens, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you fully persuaded of that? So you can't tell me that that poltergeist in your house is going to beat you out of this. You can't. Well, I know this and I know that. I need to know more because if I don't know more, I can't win. This says that poltergeist can't win. Because you're not separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The overcomer lives in you. The Holy Spirit is here to see to it that you succeed, even if you have to go around the mountain 15 times. Whatever it takes, that's what you got to do. Amen? Amen. Humans do not know how to pray as the Lord would like. Romans 8:26 always already told us. Our flesh, our natural man, is a rejecter of the things of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Are y'all reading? Okay. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, your carnal man, does not receive what God says. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You're going to have to get this in the realm of the Spirit. So you're going to have to be in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So, saints, you have homework. Yes. Some of you think you're slick and smart, but I'm going to tell you this one more time. Go to www.miracleinternetchurch.com. Whether you do it on your phone or on your computer or on your pad or whatever you have, and go to the link that says Blog Talk Archive Sermon. Click that link. See, some of you think you're slick. You have this little shortcut you like to use, but you're not going to get the same result. Uh-huh. Amen. So after you click that link, the page is going to come up, and I'm going to tell you to scroll down to where the numbers increase and keep clicking the numbers and going down the page till you get to these pages that all is on the page is sermons about the Holy Spirit. Let's see, where was that Holy Spirit? I counted this morning 46 messages on the Holy Spirit. 46. That's how many I counted this morning. And your homework is to recast four of them. So how do I know which four I'm going to choose? Well, the Holy Spirit, when you decide to communicate with him, is going to indicate to you of the four of the 46, which four are yours. That's your homework, to recast of those 46 sermons. This might be 47. Of the 47 sermons on the Holy Spirit that are in the archive, you need to recast four of them. Amen? Amen. There will be no helps for this. What do I mean by no help? Well, that means Robert is not going to post them in the chat room for you. Brother Bill is not going to post them there. Dina is not going to post them there. Trish is not going to post them there. And Pastor's not going to post them there either. You're going to do your own homework for a change. This is not the game show where you ask for help from a friend. You're to go to miracleinternetchurch.com. You can forget about texting Brother Bill. He's not going to answer that text. He already knows.
Does he have to do the
four? Yeah, everybody's got to do four. Of the 47 sermons, this is number 47. On the website about the Holy Spirit, you are to recast four of them. Nobody is going to post the link in the MIC chat for you. You're going to go to the archive yourself and click that link. The page will come up. You scroll down to where the numbers increase, and you just keep clicking till you get there. And there's this whole page going to show up with nothing but sermons about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will indicate to you which four are yours. Amen? I believe out of 47, you can get four sermons. because we evidently need a refresher. That's what God thinks. Amen? Amen. So stand for the benediction. Amen. Stand for the benediction. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stand for the benediction. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And the body of Christ said, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Pastor loves you. You may do your homework now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
How many weeks do we have?
That's up to you and the Holy Spirit.
Somehow.